When you woke up this morning, you started making choices. Do you get up or do you hit snooze? Do you get a bite to eat first or do you shower? Do you shave your legs or just wear pants? I always go for pants. Before long, we've made hundreds, if not thousands, of choices in the course of a day. What do we eat? What do we wear? What do we listen to? What do we say? And the sheer number of choices that we're faced with necessitates that we make some by habit. You don't sit and ponder for a half hour whether you're going to wash your hair first or whether you're going to wash it last when you shower. Last is obviously right, but some silly people like Ashley do it first. You know, but we don't think about it. We do it. We get into a habit. Because at some point, you just started doing things that way. Maybe it's how your parents did it when you were growing up. Maybe it was the only way you could afford to do it once you got out on your own. But here's the thing when we talk about each of these. These habits, whether they are developed from what we learned at home, whether we adopted them out of necessity or possibly laziness, they have a direct impact on how we experience life each day. Consider these heavy, but almost instantaneous choices that we make that affect how we experience life. When someone yells at you, which I have found is very common if you work in retail or in ministry, if someone yells at you, do you start to instinctively raise your voice in response? Do you shut down? Almost like a turtle going in the shell, just shutting off until it stops. Do you reply calmly, peacefully? When you make a mistake, do you make an excuse? Start listing all of the reasons why the thing you did wrong wasn't your fault, was somebody else's fault, really wasn't in your control? Do you feel guilty? Can't believe I did that. Can't believe I did that. Man, I can't believe I did that. I know better. Why did I do that? Or do you ask forgiveness from the person that was affected by it? I did that and I'm sorry. In many ways, your answer to these and questions like these probably depends on some combination of what you saw growing up and just how you've learned to cope as you've lived life each day. And a lot of times, we recognize that our habits just aren't what they need to be. Because we don't love the way we look. We don't love the way we feel. We want things to be different, but we just can't quite figure out how to get there. We just can't stop eating that snack right before bedtime. We always seem to be running late. We can't quite get the schedule worked out that we can get where we're trying to go right on time or a few minutes early. Or we have a short fuse. There are just some people who know how to get under our skin. They know how to push our buttons. It's like, I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. And believe it or not, the Apostle Paul, the prolific preacher, the church planter, the inspired author of almost half of the Old Testament or the New Testament books as we read them. He completely understands. Read with me, if you would, from Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 25. Paul says here, "So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God, in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." Paul really gets it, doesn't he? We don't really want to be distant with our spouses. We don't really want to snap at our kids. We don't really want to gossip about other people. We really do want to be people that build others up with every word we say. That's who we want to be. That's who we picture ourselves as. We want to make our spouses feel loved. We want to help our kids grow up to be healthy and strong and completely in love with Jesus. We want prayer to be our first reaction when we feel stressed. We want to always have a solid answer from the Bible when someone asks us a question. We want to be kinder, more giving, more loving. We really do delight in the law of God. The thing is, though, that that delight is in our inner being. And you know, that inner being, that inner man, he's actually more substantive. He's more real than what we see on the outside. Because that inner man that God created us with, he doesn't catch colds. He doesn't get cancer. Our inner man isn't flooded with adrenaline whenever someone raises their voice at us. The reality, though, is we're also flesh. And right now, flesh does all of that. Flesh reacts, and it reacts quickly. When we feel stressed, flesh tells us to eat candy. When we're yelled at, flesh tells us fight or flight. And what's worse, flesh really thrives on habits. And it's often a race to the bottom. One time going to McDonald's, order a medium fry when you've been ordering a small fry. And see how every time you go after that, you're now hungry for the medium fry. The small fry is not enough. Just once. It only takes once. And that starts to become your new expectation. Say a bad word, like your peers. And see how much it just starts appearing when you speak. Miss a day at the gym or with the church. And see how much easier it is to be absent the next time you would normally be there. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Paul exhibits great empathy here. He saw the risen Savior. He could perform miracles, and he understands. That's comforting. You know, though, I'd often misapply this passage. Because verses 24 and 25, where Paul says that, they're at the end of a chapter. So I conclude something like this in the past. So you see, even Paul struggled. Fortunately, we have Jesus to forgive us, so just keep on struggling, and it'll all be okay if you don't give up. Let's go home. Here's the problem, though. That's not what Paul said! Paul didn't write in chapters
We added those numbers 12,000 years after he wrote. That's not the end of the thought.
If we read that and conclude, well, see, everybody struggles. We're only human. Just buck up, chin up, do the best you can, and it'll all work out in the end.
We aren't listening to what the inspired apostle said. Yes, he understands. He knows what it's like to struggle. He knows that it's a war inside us, that we want to be something different, but we're not right now. He gets it. But his point wasn't for us to just shrug and move on and just do the best that we can. He has something better for us. There is more in Christ Jesus for us to be thankful for.
Read what he says next in Romans chapter 8, the first 8 verses. Right after he says, "This wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin." But then chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Paul starts, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Yes, we're flesh. Yes, we struggle. Yes, God in his grace in Christ Jesus gives us forgiveness. Yet Paul's statement in 7:25 wasn't meant to be read with a shrug, with acceptance that we'll always mess up because we're only human. God's grace is also that we can be changed. God's grace is also that just as Christ has forgiven us, he can also set us free. Jesus has shown us that sin can be overcome, that there's a better, freer way for us to live life when we follow him. The reality is our default is wrong. When we focus on the flesh, because that's all we see and feel, that's where we get into trouble. Because look at how easy it is to sin. Does it take an enormous amount of effort to sin? Of course not. Sin is very, very easy. Take two people that are physically attracted to each other and have them go watch a movie alone at someone's apartment with the lights off, laying down on the couch. Is it going to be very difficult for sin to come out of that situation? No, that's going to be really easy to get sin out of that situation. No problem whatsoever. Because that's flesh. That's the natural default that we have. It is really easy for us to get angry when someone does something we don't agree with. To react and hurt when someone's hurt us. It's easy to just try to make ourselves feel better by popping a pill or taking a swig of a drink or eating a whole tub of ice cream. But when that's the case, when flesh is what's controlling us, then we are hostile to God. We don't submit to God. In fact, Paul says, we can't When that is our point of reference, when we are focused on the flesh, then yeah, we're going to feel this war. We're going to constantly feel conflict. We're going to have something that we'd like to do, but we just can't seem to do it. But in Christ, we can set our minds differently. We don't have to be stuck there. We can set our minds differently. We don't have to be slaves to nature, to nurture, to habits. But we've got to decide, are we ready to be free from impurity? Are we tired of pain from arguing, from bitterness, from jealousy? Would you like to wake up every morning without feeling anxious, without feeling like the weight of the world is on you? Would you like to live a life that's full of love, where no matter what happens, you feel joy, you feel peace, where other people look at you and they're touched by your patience, by your kindness, by your goodness, by your faithfulness, by your gentleness, where you are self-controlled, where you are living your life on purpose and not just endlessly reacting to what's going on around you. If you're tired of the war inside, of the hostility, of the condemnation, of death, if you're ready for life and for peace, then it's time to set our minds on the Spirit. And what this means is that our goal is to be close to God. This is different than a goal of not going to hell. Because when our goal is not going to hell, we look for the minimum. What do I need to do to not go to hell? Where does it say in there that I have to do such and such? And if we live our life that way, the struggle is going to continue. You're going to feel that back and forth because there's going to be part of you that knows something can be better. There's going to be part of you that delights. But if we're looking for that minimum, then yeah, you're going to feel the struggle. You're going to constantly feel ripped back and forth. You're going to want to be something different, but you can't quite get there. But if our goal is to be close to God, if we are setting our minds on the Spirit, then we are going to find what we need to start to change our habits. We're not going to please God while we keep doing things the same way we've always done them. Paul says we can't. We can't just keep functioning, keep reacting the way we always have and expect the outcome of our lives to be different. But if we start working with Him to change our habits, to change how we are living life as real people with spouses and kids and jobs and co-workers and crazy family and everything else that comes with life. But we start living it in such a way where we are working with God, where we are trying to be like Jesus, where we are following the lead of the Holy Spirit, then we can experience a new, better life. But it's going to have to be an inside job. In verse 9 of Romans chapter 8, Paul says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him, but if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Jesus died he was buried, and on Sunday morning, he rose with new life. When we decide that we want a better life without sin, without condemnation, when we die to ourselves, we're buried in baptism, and we rise with new life, our sins are forgiven. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And without that, anything else is irrelevant. If you don't have the Spirit, Paul says you don't belong to Christ. So if you're with us this morning and you haven't obeyed that gospel and you want that better life, there's lots of things we can talk about. There's lots of things you can practice, and they may help a little. But they're not going to get you where you need to be, because you're going to be doing it all on your own. And you can't. We need God. We need His Holy Spirit. We need His help if the struggle is going to be overcome and if our lives are going to become better. But once we have the Spirit, what God can do in us is amazing. Because yes, we're still in the flesh and it wars against us. Yes, we get sick and we're not at our best. And yes, we lose an hour of sleep because someone at some point thought daylight savings time was a good idea, so we're a little bit crankier than usual. Yes, we still get flooded with adrenaline when somebody yells at us. We're still in the flesh. But instead of being dead, the Spirit gives us life, even while we're still in this mortal body. Life, just like the life that raised Jesus from the grave, is inside of us. When we put on Christ in baptism, that same Spirit that let Jesus get up out of the grave on Sunday morning is in you and me. Life that is abundant. Life that is full of love and joy and peace. Life that will last eternally. This is God's work. This is God's grace. We don't have to feel constantly wretched and condemned. But how? We talk about this all the time. I shouldn't be angry. I should be patient. I shouldn't worry. I should feel peace. I'm one thing. I need to be another thing. But how do I get there? I hear you, Dan. I should be more patient. But goodness gracious, my spouse just won't. My supervisor won't. These people I work with do. How am I supposed to? I can't just sit back and do nothing, waiting for God to do His thing. Because Paul said, my mind opposes Him. If I just try to keep doing what I'm doing and wait for God to change things, I'm heading the wrong direction, because my default setting isn't pointing towards God. But I don't know what to do. My default is broken. No matter how hard I try, I keep messing up. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8, Paul says, the one who sows to his own flesh will reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. There's something really powerful about this reaping and sowing analogy that we need to notice. In his book from 1988, Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth, this author, Richard Foster, said this: a farmer is helpless to grow grain. All he can do is provide the right conditions for the growing of the grain. He cultivates the ground, he plants the seed, he waters the plants, and then the natural forces of the earth take over, and up comes the grain. This is the way it is with the spiritual disciplines. They are a way of sowing to the Spirit. This is what we need. We've changed our minds. We've been baptized. The Spirit dwells in us. We're ready to grow. So let's start getting the conditions right by being spiritually disciplined. We need concrete habits to keep the right mindset. We need to get more consistent in things we know to do, like praying without ceasing, like being trained in the words of the faith and the good doctrine which we follow. Yet, we also need habits that are all over Scripture that maybe we don't do. Maybe we've never done because we don't really know how. How often do the psalmists talk about how they meditate on God's word day and night? Have you ever done that? What does that mean? How's that different than just Bible study? What does it mean to meditate on God's word? Jesus in the early church talked an awful lot about fasting. Have you ever done that? And I'm not talking about like for weight loss, like to get closer to God. Have we ever tried that? Has that been part of our experience? Things like confessing our faults to each other. Not just living with condemnation because we keep messing up, but forming relationships through which we can come to each other with an expectation of receiving the grace and truth that we see in Jesus Christ to help us grow and help us change. You see, because none of this is a question of trying harder or having enough willpower. It's not a matter of whether we must do these things to not go to hell, or if I do them and you don't, I'm a better Christian than you are. It's about our desire, our willingness, our mindset to get closer to God. It's about changing our habits as we live life each day to lessen the influence of the flesh and to make the conditions right for God to change us from within. Our hurting can stop. Our joy can be deeper. We can have life and peace right now. Let's set our minds on the Spirit. Let's walk according to the Spirit. We have to change our habits. Sin comes far too naturally. We need to train to get in shape. So let's do that. Let's spend the next few weeks becoming the kind of soil that God can get big, beautiful, delicious fruit out of. Let's not just talk about topics. Let's train. Let's actually work on trying some new things spiritually that we may not be in the habit of now, putting them into practice, changing some of our habits so that we can become more like Jesus. Consider this the official start of spring training. Let's get to work. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need forgiveness of sins. You need the gift of the Spirit. Come up and we'll baptize you today. If you've been walking a different direction, confess that. Let's pray for each other. Let's ask God for forgiveness together. And if you have anything on your heart you want to share, or you just need help getting through the week with, bring it up to the elders and I, and we'll pray over it together so that we all start this week getting our minds set and starting to get the conditions right for us all to grow spiritually. If there's something you need, come up and talk to me while we stand and sing.